Hello.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. How was your trip to Mexico, was it?
Yeah, dude, it was really, really good. It's kind of nice to unwind now from the whole trip, but it was really good just like being able to see the culture out there, obviously. And I mean, like baseball out there is just so much different, I feel like, than here in the States. Or I mean, every country is going to be a little bit different. So it was really cool being able to see like an actual game and like the kids, like in their own little leagues and stuff like that, in their baseball academy. It's like one of the only areas they have to play. So it was pretty cool.
Cool. Well, is Mexico are they, I guess, more, do they celebrate home runs and everything a lot more than they do in the States?
Yeah, dude. So like I felt like when we were there, we were watching the game, they cheer for absolutely anything. I mean, they got their own little chants. And here I felt like when we're you're watching a professional baseball game, if you're at the game, there's some quiet moments and stuff like that. But like here, or sorry, over there, it's totally different. Like they're cheering the whole time. Obviously the food's different. And yeah, it's cool, dude. I think it's like something definitely everyone should experience, even if it's not in Mexico, maybe somewhere else where you can kind of get a different vibe of the whole baseball thing.
For sure. Well, let's get going. So this is Jordan Dicko. I'm with Diamond Performance Baseball on the 643 Baseball podcast. Diamond, since you've gotten back, have you watched any baseball lately?
Yeah, dude, I've tried to been catching up. I don't know. I've been rooting for the home team lately, for the D-backs. It's awesome to watch them grind it out every night, and I feel like they always have kind of like a trick up their sleeves or something like that. They're always bringing it out on the field, and they're surprising me, dude. They are crazy beating. I didn't think honestly that they were gonna win the series versus the Astros. I thought they were gonna get swept or something like that, especially
Right.
going against Verlander and whatnot. But yeah, after the first game that they went 8-0 against them, I was like, oh damn, this is gonna be a bad 3 games. And then yeah, but it was awesome to see them, doing something great. And they had a pretty good season last season, but for them to like, keep going with that momentum from last season is awesome to see. And yeah, dude, I've been trying to keep up as much as possible. What about you?
I've watched a lot of Boston Red Sox baseball lately, and I mean I can't complain. I mean Mookie's putting together an MVP season. I mean I know it's just May. It's just like the second month of the season, but I mean let's face it, the more as the days go, as the day goes by, as days go by and months go by throughout the baseball season, I think as long as Mookie produces like this throughout the entire season, I think he's gonna be an MVP candidate, Betts and Gregorius this year.
Dude, they are both beasting it up in the American, and like, holy crap. Like, I can't believe it. I've been trying to watch as much of, the Red Sox as well, because, I feel like they're on fire lately, especially with Mookie Betts. And the Yankees are, I thank God. I mean, with the lineup they have and stuff like that, they were able to turn it around a little bit. I was definitely kind of worried, at the beginning of the season, how they were doing, especially with the players they had. And I like that Boston, has got that momentum going as well. They're doing really good this season. It's, like you said, like Mookie Betts and stuff like that. And overall, that team's on fire as well. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on all the, I was reading up on all these injuries lately. Like you have, like, we got Yu Darvish. I think he's on the 10-day, like, illness or something like that. Clayton Kershaw's got that bicep tendonitis. I think Johnny Cueto's out as well, or something like with his elbow.
Yeah, that's
But
right. That's
it's,
right.
yeah, it is absolutely crazy. Like everyone's just kind of like taking a fall in the DL.
Yeah, man. I mean, I honestly feel bad for the Dodgers. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is a big blow, but if you look at like their full like who they have on the disabled list, they have Seager, Turner, Puig, and now you add Clayton Kershaw, who does not have like an established timetable to come back.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think the Dodgers are kind of in some bad shape. It's just I think they have some great utility players. Kiki Hernandez can play all over the field. Chris Taylor is, I think, a natural shortstop, but it's nothing like having Corey Seager play that 5.5 hole or that 5 hole. And then, I mean, when you have Kershaw on the DL, I think the Dodgers are just like a completely different team. I think Kershaw kind of brings a kind of aura to the Dodgers. It's like when you come to Dodger Stadium, just like, oh my God, like you could, like, you're definitely facing Kershaw, like one of the greatest pitchers in the game. I think the Dodgers are in bad shape right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how their season plays out with all these injuries.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the Dodgers, they're going to have a pretty tough season, you know, for the rest of the season. It's going to suck, but I mean, I feel like every team goes through that, you know. I'm a hardcore St. Louis Cardinals fan, and I know we had a couple seasons like that where we just kind of have to grind it out and take it as it is and just hope for the best. I mean, sometimes we've had seasons like that where I'm just like, you know what, if we get third place in the division this season, I'll be happy. Like, you know, and it's all about timing, and it's all about, you know, having to regroup themselves. Cause I mean, not only are they losing a lot of players, I mean, Corey Seager, that was I think personally him and Kershaw are like the biggest hit to that team. I mean, not only obviously pitching wise, but also with Corey Seager's bat. Right. In that lineup, I mean, he was always getting on base. He was, you know, he was going to have a good year. And then the whole Tommy John thing surprised me, especially coming from a shortstop. You know, you don't hear that very often.
Right.
And then, like, Puig was doing okay. I mean, he's still a pretty lively bat in the lineup as well when he gets on fire. So, yeah, dude, it's just they're going to have to just kind of, like, close their eyes and hope for the best during the rest of the season. And I think their Dave Roberts ain't going to last too long either as a manager. I mean, he's stressing out about it. And I don't know. I think this might be his last season as a manager, but who knows?
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers are always going to have World Series aspirations, especially because they were one win away from winning it all last year. I think the Dodgers kind of have that Yankee expectation where it's just like the soonest a manager can like win the World Series, the better. And it's kind of more of an expectation in LA than in other places.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, LA, I mean, obviously last year they went to the World Series and they were so close to winning it all. You know, the fans were expecting for another amazing season once again. But yeah, they've had some close calls, but also I feel like Dodger fans are continuing to be, you know, not disappointed, but there's so much hype that comes, you know, from obviously playing for the Dodgers. But also I remember, you know, a couple, you know, years back when, you know, they had obviously when Chase Utley was in his prime, when Kershaw was bringing it, you know, Cy Young, when you know, back in the day when they had Manny Ramirez and all these different, like, star players, Adrian Gonzalez and stuff like that. So I feel like, you know, there's just been so many ups and downs, but more downs lately for the Dodgers than anything. So I think it's time for whoever's higher up in the Dodgers organization, you know, to kind of start collaborating and start turning things around. Because, you know, they do have really good talent. I just feel like they're not putting it together. And obviously they can't control injuries, but definitely something's going to have to be done in LA to put them back at as that stellar team they used to be.
Right. Well, I mean, on paper, they should be winning the World Series almost every year. As bad as that sounds I'm going to say former Giants fan. I mean, I grew up a Giants fan, so that kind of makes me, but, I mean, what do you think would put them over the top? They have a great lineup. They have the best pitcher, let's say, in the league. Like, what else do they need? Because they have a stacked lineup. They have that. I mean, whether or not this is Roberts's last year, they have a great manager. Like, what else do you think they need?
I don't know, dude. I feel like it's obviously you're right. I mean, they do have good players. They do have pretty decent pitching. I think they could work a little bit more with like the relievers and you know, like Jansen and stuff like that. Like, I feel like he has a lot of on and off days where, you know, some days he'll close it out, other times he'll get lit up. I mean, especially like last year in the playoffs and stuff like that. But
right.
I think it's mostly just bigger decisions in regards to the lineup and stuff like that. Like, for example, one of the big moves that I think that kind of, I don't know, like brought the team down was when they kind of, I know Adrian Gonzalez was a free agent, but they ended up just kind of like letting him go. I mean, they didn't really like offer him that much money or anything like that to stay in LA. And now that he's with the Mets, I think he's having a pretty decent season for being a veteran. He's doing really good. And so I feel like, you know, moves like that where, you know, they bring Cody Bellinger in and surprisingly, you know, Cody Bellinger's from like my hometown. It's just crazy how, you know, he had like the most strikeouts in the playoffs last year. He's batting okay this year. I mean, they put so much hype on him that I think, you know, it's not really worth it. I think like eventually like it'll go down a little bit, but, you know, sacrificing a veteran player that can put the team on their back, can like motivate them, can have has that experience over a rookie is like kind of to me personally like a bad move. But I think they should just like focus more, like I said, like on powering up their lineup more. As I don't know, they just need to turn things around. Like I said, relievers and a couple of hitters in the lineup need to step it up a little bit. I mean, their batting average as a whole, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know it's not very good.
Right. I mean, when I saw Cody Bellinger come up, just his like his massive uppercut swing, I thought he was going to be a flash in the pan. I didn't think he was going to win. He won the MVP this year, right? The National League MVP?
Yeah, which I was like, okay, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like he came up, he got this huge hype, and he just won the MVP. I mean, don't get me wrong, he had a good season. But, like, what about players like Nolan Arenado and, like, people like that? You know what I mean? It's just like, what in the world? Like, Nolan Arenado, I think, like, last year had, like, 130 RBIs and, like, 30 home runs and something like that. Like, I don't know. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think – I don't know if the MVP is considered, you know, off the top of my head. I'm not sure if it's by the numbers or if, like, the writers pick the MVP or whatnot. But, yeah, I think they need to get their heads straight.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Do you think the MVP has – well, do you think where a player plays influences who gets the MVP?
I think definitely, dude. I mean, if you think about it, obviously, you know, for example, take that Cody Bellinger one. There was such a huge hype last year with it. I mean, the Dodgers went to the World Series, right? They were, I think, leading the division or their division for the most part of the season. You know, they had awesome players and stuff like that. So, you know, they're going to have that popularity. I mean, take, for example, I mean, I can't think of one on top of my head, but let's take, for example, you have a really good player, who knows, on the Phillies or something last year where, you know, terrible season, the team, you know, they weren't winning a lot of games and stuff, but the guy's putting up numbers, you know, there could be at times, I mean, I think it would be a not really kind of, how do I say it, like not marketing tool, but like a media-wise, I think a player like on a more popular team, on a team that has a better winning record and went to the playoffs and went to the World Series and stuff like that has a more market value than, you know, advertising an MVP who was on the Phillies, who had a terrible season and stuff like that. So I feel like there's so many factors into those MVPs that I feel like it should be like broken down more into either like fan base, like have the fans vote kind of like in the All-Star game, or literally just go off straight up, like keep it plain and simple, go off the numbers. Like whoever puts up the best numbers and so-and-so categories gets it no matter what, it doesn't matter. you know what I mean? There shouldn't be like a group of writers choosing who gets the MVP and who doesn't, or, you know, or like Cy Young, or even like when the, even like, you know, even for players in the Hall of Fame, I mean, sometimes like, yeah, they all deserve it, but I feel like it should be determined on based on the numbers, not based on a group of writers, you know, deciding who should get into the Hall of Fame and who shouldn't.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes me want to get into the whole Barry Bonds debate. Do you think you should get him?
Dude, honestly, when it comes down to it, my dad and I talk about this all the time, and I've talked with it to a lot of people. So, you know, Barry Bonds, he was, you know, through, I feel like he was through different eras of baseball. You know, him coming up originally wasn't the biggest dude. And then he was, you know, huge in during the steroid era of baseball that, you know, started killing the sport. You know, you had Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Jose Canseco, and like stuff like that. You know, those play and like the whole steroid, whatever, frantic going on throughout the MLB was causing us to lose popularity and stuff like that. But steroids are, I don't know how to say it. Like, yeah, they make you bigger in mass and stuff like that. But at the end, I feel like, and like my dad says too, like, and I tell it to him as well, or anybody who asks me about it, at the end of the day, I think that you still have to have some athletic ability, some hand-eye coordination and things like that. And mechanically wise, your swing needs to be really good in order to hit a baseball over the fence. You know what I mean? Like, right. You can be as huge. I mean, you could be Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Brock Lesnar or whoever you can think of that's massively big.
Right.
But if you put a bat in their hand and you tell them to hit the ball over the fence, I mean, most likely they might not have the hand-eye coordination to make it happen. So, I mean, steroids, I guess, do have some sort of performance-wise, but I think at the end of the day, it's about your hand-eye coordination and how you hit the ball. And, you know, I mean, let's not take it out of proportion, but, I mean, Barry Bonds had a pretty good swing. I mean, he had hand-eye coordination. I mean, even at a later age, he was still able to hit the ball over the fence, so... I mean, steroids or no steroids, he was not like he was the only one who did them. And, you know, I guess, honestly, he deserves it. I mean, people think of, you know, they see steroids as a negative thing, obviously, and it's cheating and stuff like that. But, you know, like I'm saying, like at the end of the day, it's more than just muscle mass.
Right. It's
based on another group of skills as well.
Right. I mean, I kind of have a theory that the way that Bonds treated – the writers while he was playing, which granted to kind of water down how he acted, he didn't like the media very much, and especially because he was he kind of led the whole steroid era thing, mainly because he was probably arguably the greatest hitter in that era, or like
yeah.
So I think the way the relationship of between Bonds and the media went plays a factor in it. And granted that it's the Hall of Fame vote, like the writers have a part, like do have a part in voting players in. I just think they're going to let them like simmer for what does it, how many years does he have left? Like two, three?
Yeah. I think like two more, two or three more years, I think. Yeah.
So I think from that aspect, that's also something to consider. Regardless on how you feel about steroids, he had the ability. And then,
hey man,
hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, so I was just saying, that his relationship with the media is affecting his, I guess ETA of getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think he's always, they're always going to hold that grudge against him. I mean, just like you just said, like how he acted with the media and stuff like that. I mean, eventually it was going to kick him in the butt sometime soon. I mean, like, especially right now when he's trying to get into the Hall of Fame, but we'll just have to see. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, who else he's up against as well to get into the Hall of Fame, but I think they might give him a chance, but who knows if he'll get selected. So yeah, we'll just have to go off of that.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the other injury, Johnny Cueto. You know what? I've kind of enjoyed seeing the Giants get to a winning record, even with Mad Bum out. And then Jeff Smarja, I have a another friend of mine who is a Giants fan. Like, he's someone I grew up with, and it's just like, even with, and like, he doesn't, I mean, he, I think, I'm not going to say has a bad opinion about Jeff Samardzija, but I mean, just the way that Samardzija pitches now, like, he throws in the low 90s, and then he has like a mid 80s like off speed pitch. It's kind of scary to watch him pitch, but like, it's at the same time, it's nice to see that the Giants are kind of in a winning mood at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I think eventually, if they get it together, they'll start coming back up on the division. And, you know, once again, bringing up that division again, I think the D-backs are going to have a tough time as well, like, keeping that first place spot. Like you just said, you know, the Giants are going to start creeping back. The Rockies are, like, on their, you know, on their toes every single day. So that is a really tough division, honestly. Like, and if the Dodgers were in it as well, like, if they turn their act around and get it going, I mean, I feel like that division every year is always very tough. I mean, it's always between three teams and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I'd like to see them, yeah, like, definitely start winning a lot more games and getting back into it, because, you know, they had a huge hype as well at the beginning of the season, you know, like McCutchen and Longoria and their pitching staff and stuff like that. So, yeah, they have faced some injuries, but, you know, but with Johnny Cueto going down, I mean, he does provide a pretty good amount of wins, you know, during the season. I don't know how long he's out for. I just know he has that elbow strain, so we'll have to see. But it's definitely going to, you know, hurt them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the gym today, and I saw a tidbit about Cueto. I think he's out 3 weeks. So, I mean, that'll take us into mid-late May. I mean, I don't know. I think from the little bit I've seen of the Giants, I like their offense. I think Alan Hansen has been a good pickup. And then McCutchen and Longoria are just, they're raking right now. And then, like, you have Posey and Austin Jackson. I mean, they have a really good offense. I need to watch more of them. And then, I mean, I don't want to say they swept the Braves. I need to double check, but I think they won the series against the Atlanta Braves, who with the call up of Ronald Acuna have just been, are like, leading their division. So
yeah, dude, they're red hot as well. So
yeah. So, I mean, that's a good sign for the Giants. Yeah. I mean, like, it's good to see the hometown boys, swing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think, like you said, like, with that Braves series, it'll definitely give them some momentum to keep going. But also, I wanted to bring up, hopefully you've heard, Herrera on the Phillies, 36 game hit streak. Like, what? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. You know what? That's the first time I've heard about it, which is maybe a good or bad sign. But anyway,
it's like a sleeper. Like, I literally found out about it, like, maybe like an hour ago. I was just screaming through, like, MLB and on my phone, and then, yeah, it came up, 36 game hit streak. I don't know if you play that, or if you don't, you should play it, that Beat the Streak app game. Do you play that?
I don't, but I will.
Dude, look into it. It's just to sum it up real quick, it's literally, it's by MLB. You win $5.6 million if you beat the 56-game hit streak. So every day you can choose one or two players. If you choose two players and one of them doesn't get a hit, it doesn't count. But, like, let's say you just pick one player at a time, you obviously add up your streak. And if you get 57 – or if you select 57 players in a row who get a hit, you win the money. So they do it every season. I think they've done it for a couple years now, but I think the closest anyone has ever gotten is like 38 or something like that, or 42, something like that. And yeah, I was like, that totally, like, brought me to that app. I was like, holy crap.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, so I was just saying that his relationship with the media is affecting his, I guess, ETA of getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think he's always, they're always going to hold that grudge against him. I mean, just like you just said, like how he acted with the media and stuff like that. I mean, eventually it was going to kick him in the butt sometime soon. I mean, like, especially right now when he's trying to get into the Hall of Fame. But we'll just have to see. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, who else he's up against as well to get into the Hall of Fame. But I think they might give him a chance, but who knows if he'll get selected. So, yeah, we'll just have to go off of that.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the other injury, Johnny Cueto. You know what? I've kind of enjoyed seeing the Giants get to a winning record, even with Mad Bum out and then Jeff Smarja. I have another friend of mine who is a Giants fan. Like, he's someone I grew up with. And it's just like, even with, and like, he doesn't, I mean, he, I think, I'm not going to say has a bad opinion about Jeff Samardzija, but I mean, just the way that Samardzija pitches now, like he throws in the low 90s and then he has like a mid 80s, like off speed pitch. It's kind of scary to watch him pitch, but like, it's at the same time, it's nice to see that the Giants are kind of in a winning mood at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I think eventually if they get it together, they'll start coming back up on the division. And, you know, once again, bringing up that division again, I think the D-backs are going to have a tough time as well, like keeping that first place spot. Like you just said, you know, the Giants are going to start creeping back. The Rockies are like on their, you know, on their toes every single day. So that is a really tough division, honestly. Like, and if the Dodgers were in it as well, like if they turn their act around and get it going, I mean, I feel like that division every year is always very tough. I mean, it's always between three teams and stuff like that. So yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I'd like to see them, yeah, like definitely start winning a lot more games and getting back into it. Cause you know, they had a huge hype as well at the beginning of the season, you know, like McCutchen and Longoria and their pitching staff and stuff like that. So yeah, they have faced some injuries, but you know, but with Johnny Cueto going down, I mean, he does provide a pretty good amount of wins, you know, during the season. I don't know how long he's out for. I just know he has that elbow strain, so we'll have to see. But it's definitely gonna, you know, hurt them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the gym today, and I saw a tidbit about Cueto. I think he's out 3 weeks. So, I mean, that'll take us into mid late May. I mean, I don't know. I think from the little bit I've seen of the Giants, I like their offense. I think Alan Hansen has been a good pickup, and then McCutchen and Longoria are just, they're raking right now. And then like you have Posey and Austin Jackson. I mean, they have a really good offense. I need to watch more of them. And then, I mean, they swept the Braves. I need to double check, but I think they won the series against the Atlanta Braves, who with the call up of Ronald Acuna have just been, are like leading their division. So
they're red hot as well. So
yeah. So, I mean, that's a good sign for the Giants. Yeah. I mean, like it's good to see the hometown boys, swing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think like you said, like with that Braves series, it'll definitely give them some momentum to keep going. But also I wanted to bring up, hopefully you've heard, Herrera on the Phillies, 36 game hit streak. Like what? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. You know what? That's the first time I've heard about it, which is maybe a good or bad sign, but anyway,
it's like a sleeper. Like I literally found out about it like maybe like an hour ago. I was just screaming through like MLB and on my phone, and then yeah, it came up 36 game hit streak. I don't know if you play that, or if you don't, you should play it. That Beat the Streak app game. Do you play that?
I don't, but I will.
Dude, look into it. It's just to sum it up real quick. It's literally, it's by MLB. You win $5.6 million if you beat the 56-game hit streak. So every day you can choose one or two players. If you choose two players and one of them doesn't get a hit, it doesn't count. But, like, let's say you just pick one player at a time. You obviously add up your streak. And if you get 57 or if you select 57 players in a row who get a hit, you win the money. So they do it every season. I think they've done it for a couple years now, but I think the closest anyone has ever gotten is like 38 or something like that, or 42, something like that. And yeah, I was like, that totally like brought me to that app. I was like, holy crap.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, so I was just saying that his relationship with the media is affecting his, I guess, ETA of getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think they're always going to hold that grudge against him. I mean, just like you just said, like how he acted with the media and stuff like that. I mean, eventually it was going to kick him in the butt sometime soon. I mean, like, especially right now when he's trying to get into the Hall of Fame. But we'll just have to see. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, who else he's up against as well to get into the Hall of Fame. But I think they might give him a chance, but who knows if he'll get selected. So, yeah, we'll just have to go off of that.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the other injury, Johnny Cueto. You know what? I've kind of enjoyed seeing the Giants get to a winning record, even with Mad Bum out and then Jeff Smarja. I have another friend of mine who is a Giants fan. Like, he's someone I grew up with. And it's just like, even with, and like, he doesn't, I mean, he, I think, I'm not going to say has a bad opinion about Jeff Samardzija, but I mean, just the way that Samardzija pitches now, like he throws in the low 90s and then he has like a mid 80s, like off speed pitch. It's kind of scary to watch him pitch, but like, it's at the same time, it's nice to see that the Giants are kind of in a winning mood at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I think eventually if they get it together, they'll start coming back up on the division. And, you know, once again, bringing up that division again, I think the D-backs are going to have a tough time as well, like keeping that first place spot. Like you just said, you know, the Giants are going to start creeping back. The Rockies are like on their, you know, on their toes every single day. So that is a really tough division, honestly. Like, and if the Dodgers were in it as well, like if they turn their act around and get it going, I mean, I feel like that division every year is always very tough. I mean, it's always between three teams and stuff like that. So yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I'd like to see them, yeah, like definitely start winning a lot more games and getting back into it, because, you know, they had a huge hype as well at the beginning of the season, you know, like McCutchen and Goria and their pitching staff and stuff like that. So yeah, they have faced some injuries, but you know, but with Johnny Cueto going down, I mean, he does provide a pretty good amount of wins, you know, during the season. I don't know how long he's out for. I just know he has that elbow strain, so we'll have to see. But it's definitely gonna, you know, hurt them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the gym today, and I saw a tidbit about Cueto. I think he's out 3 weeks. So I mean, that'll take us into mid late May. I mean, I don't know. I think from the little bit I've seen of the Giants, I like their offense. I think Alan Hansen has been a good pickup, and then McCutchen and Longoria are just, they're raking right now. And then, like, you have Posey and Austin Jackson. I mean, they have a really good offense. I need to watch more of them. And then, I mean, I don't want to say this, they swept the Braves. I need to double check, but I think they won the series against the Atlanta Braves, who with the call up of Ronald Acuna have just been are like leading their division. So
yeah, dude, they're red hot as well. So
yeah, so I mean that's a good sign for the Giants. Yeah, I mean, like it's good to see the hometown boys swing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think like you said, like with that Braves series, it'll definitely give them some momentum to keep going. But also, I wanted to bring up. Hopefully, you've heard Herrera on the Phillies 36 game hit streak. Like what? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. You know what? That's the first time I've heard about it, which is maybe a good or bad sign, but dude, anyway,
it's like a sleeper. Like I literally found out about it like maybe like an hour ago. I was just screaming through like MLB and on my phone, and then yeah, it came up 36 game hit streak. I don't know if you play that, or if you don't, you should play it. That Beat the Streak app game. Do you play that?
I don't, but I will.
Dude, look into it. It's just to sum it up real quick. It's literally. It's by MLB. You win $5.6 million if you beat the 56-game hit streak. So every day you can choose one or two players. If you choose two players and one of them doesn't get a hit, it doesn't count. But, like, let's say you just pick one player at a time. You obviously add up your streak. And if you get 57 – or if you select 57 players in a row who get a hit, you win the money. So they do it every season. I think they've done it for a couple years now, but I think the closest anyone has ever gotten is like 38 or something like that, or 42, something like that. And yeah, I was like, that totally like brought me to that app. I was like, holy crap. Hello? Dude, I'm going to send him an anchor. Get it together.
Yeah, they're on
Damn, the help. Bro.
They should watch their back because you're gonna send a mad yell at you.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like they have a great platform. It's just these crashes that are like, what the hell?
Oh, the platform's amazing, but it's like, I don't know, like I need to research how new this app is, because it's just like, dude, it's so great.
It's like super new. Like no one really, I mean, not that no one really uses it, because there's a lot of podcasts on here, but. Not a lot of people know about it. So, I mean, people, but what I like about it is that it like distributes like this podcast. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you're aware of it, but it'll like distribute it to like Apple Podcasts and Google and like by itself. Like it just sends it like all over the place.
Right. Yeah. No, I read about that before a little bit before I started using it. But yeah, I when I started using this app, like it was just me by myself. Like just trolling MLB trade rumors. Oh my god, hearing myself talk, it's so weird.
Dude, yeah, it's a little weird doing your, like, I do, like I said, I do a couple episodes by myself and stuff for like the kids, but yeah, it's a little weird just kind of like sitting here like talking to yourself. Like my girlfriend will come by and she's like, what the hell? Like, I'm just like sitting on the couch like talking to myself. But I was going to say, but yeah, anyways, Herrera, 36 game hit streak. And like I said, get that app. I think you would like it. And yeah, I don't know. He's red hot and he's going to keep doing it. So we'll see how far it goes. I mean, I don't remember how far, I think I want to say Jackie Bradley Jr. last year did what, 30 or no, like 28 games or something like that.
I'm going to have to look that up, but
yeah,
Jackie Bradley is another topic I want to bring up really quick. Like, what do we do? I mean, what do we the Red Sox, what do the Red Sox do with him? I mean, he's staying on the team because of his great defense, but he's hitting, I want to say, let me just look it up. I'm going to guess 182, but
dude, it's low. It's somewhere down
there. It is. I'm going to just say it's bad. I write for a Red Sox blog, and most of he's hitting 187 right now.
Wow.
Like I went to, I saw the game against the Angels and Shohei Ohtani when he hit what I want to say one or two home runs, at least one home run, and then against Oakland, like before Manaea's no hitter, and the guy can just run into one, but at the same time, like his peaks and valleys are super high and super low. He's like, he's very inconsistent and he's staying on the field because of his glove. So how far do you go before you say that's enough and you bench him, or you trade him?
Dude, I think the trade part I would wait on, but benching him, I think, is sometimes you have to do it. I mean, sometimes you have to bench some players if you're not performing. I mean, you could be a really good outfielder and defense wise, but you know, baseball is not about just that. I mean, if it was, we'd have like designated fielders instead of hitters. Oh, yeah. You know, but take example. I mean, that, and then like it just all depends on the coach and the management what they want to do. I mean, if they have that much faith in him and he's helping them in that much on defense, then sure. But I mean, that means that the other players in the lineup have to put in the work or have to, you know, kind of step up and make up for kind of like a loss in the batting order. You know, same thing with the D-backs, which I was going to bring up, AJ Pollock and Francisco Lindor. You know, they were players of the week. So AJ Pollock, for example, he's batting absolutely amazing right now for the D-backs, but Goldschmidt is like 0 for his last 23 or something terrible like that. And he hasn't really even got it started this season yet, which people are kind of, you know, I hear it here on talk radio here in Arizona, but you know, they're clowning on the manager because he doesn't take him out of that third spot because he has a lot of faith in him. But you know, if he's not performing, he's gotta sit. Like it's gotta go through his head mentally, I think, or through Jackie Bradley Jr. that, okay, something's going on. I'm in a slump. I mean, I can get out of it, but I have to like break it down again, you know, like start from step one, like what am I doing wrong, and put in the work after practice or in the cages or whatnot, and get back to my emotions as like I used to, because Jackie Bradley Jr. he's a really good hitter. He just needs to get back into it. Same thing with Goldschmidt. I mean, he's a good hitter. Last year he had a good season, and you know, when you're in a slump, you're in a slump, and sometimes you got to do whatever you have to do to get out of it. But I mean, it is what it is.
Right. I like Bradley's swing. It's just he doesn't get very many hits. And the hits he does get, thankfully, are clutch. He's had a couple home runs. But other than that, I think for the most part, he's kind of like a hole in the lineup, but like a major asset in the outfield. A lot of people are praying for the guy. Hell, I'm praying for the guy. I think he can turn into a really good player. It's just I can't stand to watch him strike out, ground out, just not put the ball in, not get a hit, and be productive at the dish.
Yeah, and it's just about what he wants to do with it. Because I mean, from a player's perspective and stuff like that, when you're in a slump, I mean, it's hard. It drains you mentally, physically as well. I mean, you just like, you feel like you don't even want to go up there and bat. Like you'd rather just like, you know, like now I'll just sit here. Like, you know, you don't have that fire or like that, you know, kind of like momentum to get in there and come up clutch for your team or get that hit and get on base and stuff like that. So, you know, it can drain you a lot and you might not be able to sleep at night and whatnot like that, especially coming from a, you know, for him, he's a professional baseball player. So he's relying on this to feed his, you know, if he has a family or his paycheck and stuff like that, you know. So obviously it's a lot of pressure on him. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, it is what it is. I think there comes a time when the coach or the manager has to be like, you know what, I got to bench you. Like, I'm sorry. You mean it's not like he doesn't know that he's struggling as well. You know, he can't be like, well, what do you mean you're going to bench me? Like, okay, like, you know what your batting average is. Like, you see it every day. You know what I mean? So, like,
exactly.
So, yeah. And then, like, speaking of, like, you know, hitting, okay, I don't know why this hasn't happened yet. I don't know if it's based on the lineup or what, but can, like, someone – or please call up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, what?
Yeah, right.
Like, I keep seeing these like videos and like him hitting. Like, I was on Instagram earlier. I don't know if you saw it. There's like a video of him. Like, I think he was with MLB Network. He literally hits a tank, like a home run out of the park, off a tee, And then like today, his first game or something like that, he hit a home run. Like this guy's an animal. And I don't know. I don't know if maybe defense wise. I mean, I've heard he has like a cannon like for an arm. So I don't know what's kind of stopping them from calling him up because he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard the same thing you did, but the way I heard it was he hit a home run like off the hotel, which is still pretty impressive given the size of the park. But
yeah,
like, man, I remember at the very beginning of the season, during the two exhibition games, at it's not the Metrodome, but the Expos Stadium.
Yeah.
Like he hit a walk-off home run that was just like, it was a no doubter. And it was like, come on. Like you need to call up Vladimir Guerrero and then, be a genie, not be a genie, but, who's the other one that's in the minors right now? Oh God. Cause they brought him up in the exhibition game too. But anyway, yeah, those two guys are players right now. I think Guerrero needs to come up like no later than the All-Star break, like no later. And then I need to figure out this other guy, but I mean, this other guy is supposedly highly talented. But I think the Blue Jays, they're still competitive right now. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're a competitive team and they have to be proud about having Vladimir Guerrero come up and then their farm system. I mean, like we're saying, Vladimir is a good guy. And then like, there's this one other guy that is very close to being in the majors. So I think at least for right now, Toronto's future is bright.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, their lineup is pretty stacked. I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now. They're 6.5 out. They're 5-5 in their last 10. I mean, decent. I mean, like I said, it's only May.
Right.
But once again, Boston and the Yankees are killing it right now. They're literally like neck and neck for the East. And I think it's going to obviously continue to do so. I mean, that's going to continue to. What up, man?
What's up?
All right.
I think Anchor is telling us it's time to shut this down. So let's wrap it up. Let's get one more topic in. What else do you see around the league?
I mean, honestly, I think I like that there's like, for example, the American League East and the American League Central right now. Like the Cleveland Indians. And like out of nowhere, honestly, the Minnesota Twins are pretty surprising me. I mean, they don't have the best records. They're 17-17, like the Cleveland Indians, and then the Twins are 14-17, but they're in second place. So, yeah, that division's a little shaky. But I think I'm gonna be really surprised to see like how the American League ends up going because I mean, obviously, Boston and Yankees are gonna fight it out till the end. I mean, there's no doubt about that with their lineups being stacked. I don't know. Maybe who knows? Like the Central, I really don't know right now. I mean, White Sox are already 7 out, but if the Twins make it out of the Central, that would be, you know, pretty surprising to see, especially, you know, like Joe Mauer out there. And then the West, you know, I think it's going to be, I don't know. Like, you know, like we have Angels on top, Houston's 1.5 out. Houston's 1 out, Seattle's 1.5 out, and Oakland's only 3 out. Like the only, like, kind of like a oddball out of the American League West is the Texas Rangers. They're 8.5 out. So,
right.
I think the American League this year is going to be absolutely competitive the whole way through. There's not going to be like a division where it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so's taking it. You know, there's a month left of baseball and it already looks like the Angels are going to win the West, but yeah, I think it's going to be neck and neck the whole time for the whole American League. Because on the National League end, I mean, the Central is close. Actually, all of them for right now. East, I think the only one that's, like I said, oddball out is the West. I mean, the D-backs are 3.5 on the Rockies, and then 4.5, and then 8, and then 10.5 on the Padres. But, you know, Central's neck and neck. East is neck and neck right now. Like, Atlanta's on top. Phillies are half out, and Mets are only 1 out, and the Nationals are only 2 out. So, yeah, I think this year we're seeing a lot more. A lot of these teams are, I feel like, battling, like, you know, putting up a lot more fight than previous seasons. I feel like previous seasons we had this whole kind of vibe where, you know, oh, well, there's 162 games, we'll make it. But, like, I feel like there's, like, a frantic rush to stay out on top right away, instead of, like, previous seasons where we kind of see it, like, slowly start turning into that. And, like, I think, like, right out of the gates this season, a lot of these teams have been battling for first. Like, they're hungry for it, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Well, for the NL East, I was going to I'm prefacing this question because it looks like the Nationals aren't as dominant as years past. So, who's your pick for the NL East?
For the NL East? I don't know, yeah. Dude. I mean, right now at this moment, I feel that the Phillies are going to come out on top. Just like based on, you know, their fan base is expecting something big out of them this season, especially for them being in second place right now. They're only half a game out. They got that momentum going. I mean, they got players like Herrera. They got Jake Arrieta. You know, they have something to fight for and something to play for, especially I feel like all these past seasons they haven't been doing so hot at all. So, you know, now that they are in a hot streak and they want to keep that momentum going throughout the season.
Right.
Let's wrap it up. Right.
Well, what closing thoughts? We're here with Diamond Baseball. Diamond Baseball, is there anything you want to say?
I mean, let's just hope for, you know, the rest of the team to be absolutely amazing like it has been for these past couple of months. Once again, thank you for letting me tune in on your podcast. If you guys do want to check us out, you can find us on Instagram at The Future of Baseball and also on Twitter at Diamond Perform. Like I said, we do baseball analysis, swing breakdowns, pitching breakdowns, fielding breakdowns, anything like that. Always check us out. We're always answering any questions you guys may have. But we also do have a YouTube channel at Diamond Performance Baseball. And we also have a podcast talking about baseball, fitness, nutrition, and helping young athletes called Let's Talk Baseball here on Anchor as well. Like I said, once again, bro, thank you so much for letting us tune in on your podcast. And I always like coming on here and talking baseball with you.
Hey, anytime, man. Let's set up another time to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys, this is Jordan Dicko with the 643 Baseball Podcast. This is with Diamond Performance. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, man, guy. Talk to you later.
All right, man, you too.